Well, we're continuing this morning our series through the Gospel of Luke. So if you have your Bibles with you, it'd be great to open them now, and the reading will come up on the screen as well. We're looking this morning at Luke chapter 14, verse 15 down to verse 24. Luke chapter 14, verse 15 down to verse 24. If you've got one of the church Bibles, you'll find that on page 874. Let me read that now. When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I must go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to the servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in the poor and crippled, and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and there is still room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges, and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" Well, as we just strong asking God to speak to us through his word. Let's turn to his word, the Bible, now, and that passage in Luke, which we read earlier. If you've got your Bibles with you, it'd be really helpful to have them open in front of you, down at that passage. Luke chapter 14, and this morning we're going to be looking at verse 15 down to verse 24. Luke 14:15-24, and this passage which we're looking at this week, it follows directly on from and is really closely linked with the passage that was looked at last week. Let me remind you of the scene as we begin. Jesus has been invited to eat at the house of a Pharisee, and he's eating there with a number of Pharisees and lawyers, and these people really, I suppose, we could think of them as kind of the religious gatekeepers of the time. They wanted to make sure that everything remained inside what they considered to be the correct religious framework. And yet, as we saw last week in the first half of this chapter, this wasn't actually a kind of a friendly invite, "Oh, you know, Jesus, we'd love to come and spend some time with you." This wasn't them sort of extending a hand of friendship. They were actually seeking to trip Jesus up. They were seeking to see if he would make a mistake that they could get him for. It was, as David reminded us, it was a trap. It was a trap, and yet Jesus turns this trap around and shows that actually it is the Pharisees and it is the lawyers who are in the wrong. It is them who are being arrogant. It is them who are being hypocritical in their use of God's law, that they're using this law to try and serve themselves, to try and prove themselves, and not to serve others, and to glorify God as the law was intended. And Jesus highlights this. He really doesn't sort of hold back. I think it's fair to say in the start of this chapter, kind of shooting down these wrong ideas and actions and attitudes of those who are present at the meal. It's probably fair to say that the atmosphere around the table by the time we join it here at verse 14 is what we might say is a slightly awkward, I suppose would be the kind of the British understated way of describing what's going on. And I don't know if anyone's ever watched the TV program Come Dine With Me. I would not, it's not a recommendation, I should say. But it's basically a program where people are selected, people who you think, oh, there's no way in the world that they will get on. And so these people are selected and they're brought together for a dinner party, and fairly unsurprisingly, they don't get on. And there is kind of tension and argument and frosty silences. Perhaps you've enjoyed meals like that yourself before, but that is really, I suppose, the kind of atmosphere to have in mind, the kind of atmosphere to have in mind as we join halfway through this chapter. And yet, we're going to see that it is not over yet. There is still more to come. And this morning we're looking at this final key lesson which Jesus is going to teach those who are seated around this dinner table. And this key lesson is all triggered by the statement made by one of the diners in verse 15 where we pick up our passage this morning. Let me read that verse to you again. And this man sitting back, it says, when one of those who reclined at the table heard him say these things, he said to him, that is, this man said to Jesus, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Well, that certainly sounds like a kind of a safe enough statement, doesn't it? Surely here, what this man says, there is some common ground that everyone can agree with and enjoy the rest of their meal together. And yet we read on to the very next verse, and Luke writes, verse 16, but he said to him, that is, but Jesus replied to this man, and that but at the start of verse 16 shows us that still there is a problem here, that this man has not got it all right. Jesus doesn't say, oh, good point, I'm so-and-so, so-and-so. It's but Jesus said. And so really, we see there that what Jesus is about to say, this parable, it is told in contrast to what the man has just said. And so before we look at that, really, what can be wrong with this man's statement? Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. What can be wrong with what he said? Why is Jesus going to say, but, say something in contrast to that? Will they not be blessed? Is there something wrong with the kingdom of God? Well, no, that is certainly not the problem. That's certainly not what Jesus is going to say. In fact, as we mentioned earlier, this parable, Jesus is going to compare the kingdom of God to a great banquet. Now, the issue is not with the kingdom of God, but it is with the man speaking and his perception of who will be there, of who is going to be blessed, of who is going to enjoy this banquet. Inherent in the man's statement, Jesus recognizes the assumption that it is him and his friends around the table who will be on the inside. It is them who will be enjoying the kingdom. It is them who will have this blessing. But actually, I think this is probably the most shocking part of the meal yet for these Pharisees that we're looking at. Jesus is going to show them that here again they are in serious danger of getting it badly wrong. That actually it will be a great shock who is present in the kingdom of God. And if they continue in their rejection of him, if they continue in their opposition of him as they have been doing so far in his ministry and seen especially in this meal, well, that kingdom will not include them. And so really, that is what this parable is all about. Who will enter God's kingdom? Who will be blessed to eat bread in the kingdom of God? And really, the parable, I think, as we look at it now, it splits really simply into two halves. There is an invitation rejected in the first half, and an invitation accepted in the second half. And again, the focus, really, the great surprise in all of that, is who ends up on the inside and who ends up on the outside. So let's have a look at the first half of this parable, the invitation rejected. Verse 15 down to verse 21, the story is that this man throws a great party, he invites all sorts of people. The custom would be that the invite would go out and people would respond saying whether they were going to be present or not. And then when it was time for the meal to begin, when everything was ready, the servants would go out and collect those who had already said they were coming. And so the people in this parable, they've already kind of RSVP'd, as it were. They said they were going to be there, and yet when the servant arrives, the excuses start coming in. Now, the first has brought a field that he needs to see. The second has brought some oxen he needs to examine. The third has married a wife, and it seems he's not allowed out of the house anymore. And I think the idea is with these excuses, it's not so much to see the individual significance and kind of ring too much significance from each one on its own, but to see the whole picture. And these people have put other things as a higher priority than attending this banquet. that these people have for other things of this world, and things I think it's really, again, important to highlight, things which are not bad things. Things which are not bad in themselves, but which have been made by these guests be important enough that they are going to let down their hosts, that they're going to go back on their word, and they're going to miss out on this banquet. These things are more important to them. These things are their ultimate priority above this banquet. And I think it's very plain as we read this parable in the situation which it's told, in this context at this meal where Jesus is speaking. Actually, he's very pointedly speaking about those sitting around the table with him. And they would have known that. These religious elites, as they would have seen themselves. Well, Jesus is saying to them, look, you have been invited to the kingdom of God. You've been invited to this great banquet, but now the time is at hand. Now Jesus has arrived. Jesus is bringing in the kingdom. Well, actually, they're too in love with the world and what they can get from it to accept this invitation. For the Pharisees, they are too in love with their elevated position, too in love with the honor and respect that they get from people, too in love with their own self-righteousness. And just like those in the parable, they've prioritized these things, and so they've rejected God's invitation. And these worldly things are their priority above what Jesus is offering them. And so it's very clear they will have no place at this great banquet. Not because they've been excluded by God, but because they have chosen to reject the invitation. This rejection in the parable is exactly what is happening around the table as the Pharisees reject Jesus. And as we read that, and as we think about that, and we consider that situation, it's so easy for us here, isn't it, to think, you know, how can these Pharisees be so stupid? How can they be so blind to what they're doing? And yet actually you need to remember, as we do time and time again, as we read through our Bible, we really need to recognize, where do we fit in this picture? Now actually we too can be doing just the same as the people in this parable. We can have our earthly priorities which squeeze God out of the picture. We focus on the here and the now. We have earthly ambitions and we fail to see that great banquet which is available and which we are invited to. The danger is that we reject this invitation because we have other priorities, when in fact there is nothing more important. There should be nothing above this invitation that God offers us. There is nothing greater than this banquet, this opportunity to enter the kingdom of God. And if we really understood that, if we understood how great what we are invited to is, if we really grasped how perfect, and I mean that in a literal sense, how literally perfect it will be to share eternity with God. And as well as that, the joy and the fulfillment of living for God now, well, all of these other distractions which cause us to put that to one side, well, we would get rid of them. If we really grasp what we are invited to, we would drop everything to grab that invitation with both hands and never let that go. And yet so often we are preoccupied, aren't we, by what's immediate, by what is right in front of us, by what the world tells us that we want, that we miss this, which is much, much greater. And it's as if we're to go out into a starry night and hold up a two-pence piece in front of your eye, this two-pence which is worth so little, which is so small in so many ways, it could be blocking out from your view stars and solar systems and galaxies, enormous things, incredible things, powerful things, and yet things that we could miss if our focus is solely on what is right there, right in front of us, if our priority and focus is solely on the here and the now. And really that's what we do when like this parable, we let earthly things prevent us from seeing the greatness of God's invitation into his kingdom and prevent us from accepting that invitation. I wonder if you're here this morning and you have not accepted that invitation. If you're here this morning and you wouldn't say that you're a committed Christian, if you're able to, or really if you would dare to consider, what is it that you're prioritizing above accepting God's invitation? Well, what is it that you put Jesus on the back burner for? What is your excuse? Is it a fear of sticking out and being different? Is it a fear of getting stuck and possibly abused from people at school or at work? Is it the desire to feel like you're completely self-sufficient, that you can live your life however you want and however you choose? Perhaps it's, as Tim mentioned in his prayer, a desire to get ahead at work, an ambition to push on, and really that is our focus. Perhaps it's like these Pharisees here, wanting respect from others, wanting to feel that actually I'm a good person, I'm a righteous person in my own right, rather than admitting, as the gospel forces us to, that actually we're not good enough by ourselves. The truth is that I can promise that all of these concerns and any more which you may have, any more which friends or family or colleagues may raise, all of these concerns will pale into insignificance when compared to the incredible banquet which God invites us to. When compared to that perfect kingdom where we will be with Him for eternity. Compared to what is in store for those who accept this invitation. There's a brilliant quote, perhaps people have heard it before, by C.S. Lewis, who speaks about looking forward to this incredible future and how so often we get distracted by things of the present. He says this: "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." I think it's a fascinating and incredibly true statement. And really that is the problem for those who reject the invitation in the parable. That is the problem for the Pharisees who are in love with the respect and honour that they get. That is the problem for ourselves whenever we're tempted to reject God's invitation, and whenever something comes in the way of us saying yes to Jesus, when we think that something in this world will be more satisfying. The problem is just that we are far too easily pleased. We are far too easily pleased with something less than all that God has in store for us. Far too easily pleased than something less to this great banquet in God's kingdom that we're invited to. I think it's important as well, before we move on to the second half of the passage, to also recognize the challenge that, as we see this invitation rejected, the challenge that actually this has for us as a church as well. It's not just about kind of individuals and individual decisions. What does this mean for us as a collection of God's people? Again, we're often hard on the Pharisees, aren't we? We kind of trust and muster and how could they do that? But perhaps it's helpful here to remember that these are people who began with good intentions. These are people who began with a real zeal to keep God's law that He'd given them. And the problem came as they lost sight of what we might call true religion. They lost sight of the real thing so much that actually now that as Jesus arrives, they don't recognize that is what everything is pointing towards, that He is bringing in this invitation. And as we think about that, well, there's a warning for us as a church, isn't it? We too can easily slip into thinking as we sit back, you know, how blessed will we be eating bread in the kingdom of God? And again, that is a true statement, but it is only true because of Jesus Christ. It is only true because of the gospel. It is not true because we will not be there if we are relying on our own goodness. It is not true if we're relying on the fact that, you know, it's a Sunday morning and it's 11 o'clock and we're in a church building. It is not true if we're relying on the fact that we're respectable members of society, or we're helpful people, or we do good things. Even as a church, we can start to look to the things of the world, look to human structures, look to things which are good in themselves, but which are not the ultimate thing. And the challenge here that we cannot afford to miss as we look at the Pharisees and their sorry state is to remember that we must constantly be focused on Jesus and the gospel, that he is the invitation. That to look anywhere else than to Christ is to reject the invitation, just as the Pharisees did. And so that invitation to join the banquet goes out, and yet as we see in this first half, some will reject the invitation, will reject Jesus who makes it possible. And so there's an invitation rejected, but now let's move on to the second half of the parable. Really, verse 21 is the turning point. Let me read that. The servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, "Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame." And see, where we see from verse 14 to 21 an invitation rejected, here from verse 21 down to verse 24 we see an invitation accepted. The servant reports the excuses which have been made, and straight away he's sent out with another invitation. Or rather, he's sent out with the same invitation, but this time it is taken to the poor, to the crippled, to the blind, to the lame. It is taken to those who are at the very bottom of Jewish society. It is taken to those who could offer nothing in return. It's taken to those who actually were seen as unworthy. So often in that culture, their difficult circumstances would have been seen as a sign of punishment or as a sign of displeasure from God. These were people that were not in with God when compared to the wealthy and comfortable Pharisees. That was the perception. These are the type of people who would have never in a million years have made it onto the Pharisees' guest list. And yet here we see they are invited to this great banquet. And they come, they are brought in. And then, even then, there is still space. And the servant is sent even further afield. Having found those in the city, in verse 21, he's then sent out into the highways and the hedges. I think the idea here is it's not just kind of the bottom rung of Jewish society, but incredibly, it is even the outsider, it is the foreigner. It is those from outside the city who are going to be brought in, and yet the Pharisees will not be. And we see that even though some have rejected their invitation, that this banquet is still going to happen. This party is not cancelled, but the kingdom will come. The house will be filled, and so the invitation continues to go out. Look at the words which are used in this section. It's not a kind of, oh, you know, I've got this leftover food and some people didn't come, so, you know, if you want anything, feel free to pop along at some point. No, people are brought in verse 21. The messenger is sent out quickly. It must happen. Verse 23, he is to compel people to come in. And nothing could be more important than accepting this invitation, than coming to this banquet. And of course, this invitation going out in the parable is a picture of the free offer of the gospel through Jesus Christ. It is that free offer which says, you know what, Jesus has done what is necessary for you to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus has paid the penalty for your sin. Jesus has lived the perfect life on your behalf. And all that is needed now is for you to accept that invitation and put your trust in him. And this is not a ticket which we have to purchase, but it is a gracious invitation which we have to freely accept. An invitation which we are compelled to accept. An invitation which goes out to the most unlikely of people. And included in those unlikely people is people like you and people like me. You see, the great contrast between those who reject the invitation and those who accept is not simply those who have a lot and those who have a little. The great contrast, really, between those who come and those who don't is a contrast between those who think that they are worth it in themselves. It is a contrast between those people who, you know, they think they deserve to be invited. In fact, they're so wrapped up in their own worth and the importance of their worldly affairs, they think, actually, I don't even need to go to this banquet. I'm not going to be summoned at someone else's time. I will do what I like, and I'll do it when I like. And these people from the first half of the parable are now contrasted so starkly here with the people who cannot help but recognize that really this is an invitation which is completely out of their league. And this is an invite which they do not deserve. And an invite which they will never be able to repay. An invitation which they cannot think, oh, I'll take it or leave it. It is a gracious invitation. And it is those who recognize that, those who recognize it as an invitation which is only of grace, they are the ones who will come in, whilst those who think they deserve it will be found remaining on the outside. And that's the great irony of what's happening here, as Jesus is sitting with the Pharisees. And they think they're on the inside, actually they're on the outside. That's really the great irony which happens in many church buildings on a Sunday morning where congregations have abandoned the gospel and abandoned Jesus and instead replaced it with a kind of moralism and a self-help and aren't we good people? The great irony is they think they're on the inside but actually they're on the outside. It's those who recognize the graciousness of this invitation who will accept. And the challenge again comes that where do we stand with this invitation which we've received? Where do we stand with this invitation? God himself inviting us in. And if we've not accepted that invitation, I think really this passage could not be any clearer. It is for you. We saw earlier in the first half, some people reject that invitation because they're too focused on the things of the world. But some also fail to accept that invitation just because it seems too good to be true. You know, I'm invited by God? No. You know, if you really knew what I was like, you wouldn't say that. If God knew the things that I think and the things that I do, he wouldn't want me. I'm not good enough. Well, but the truth is that no one is good enough. And it's those who recognize that, who accept this invitation, those who recognize that Jesus stood in our place, that this offer is for all, however unbelievable that may be. And that is why we're compelled to come in. We're going to finish very shortly singing those great words from Charles Wesley. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Can that really be? Well, the answer from the song, which comes straight from the Bible, straight from passages just like this, is yes, it can be. And it must be. And we must accept that gracious invitation. If we continue trying to wait until we're good enough for the invitation, we will be found outside the banquet. We will never come in. It is only as we recognize that we're brought in to God's kingdom. Finally, if we have recognized that, if we have accepted that, well, finally, the challenge then in turn is for us to pass on that invitation to others, to go out to others and bring them in. And really, we find this difficult, don't we? In some ways, it should be the most natural thing in the world. There's a new burger restaurant opened just around the corner of our flat a couple of weeks ago. Someone told me if you signed up to their newsletter, you get a burger for 25p. And so instantly, I signed up, told my wife, Julie, she signed up, she told a friend, they signed up. It backfired in a way. I had to queue 45 minutes to get a burger, but it was good, and it should, you know, it's the kind of the natural thing that we do, isn't it? When there is good news, we share it, we invite other people in. And that was for a hamburger. You know, this should be, sharing this news, this should be the most natural thing in the world to us if we recognize what a gracious invitation it is, what a great banquet we have, what an incredible invitation we have to take to people. And I'm not saying that means, you know, we will all find it easy and it'll just be a walk in the park, but we need to keep that in mind. That is the only thing that is going to kind of overcome our worries and our insecurities and our concerns and all those things which argue against us sharing this good news. Just remembering how incredible this invitation is, how it is the most important thing. No, it's not an invitation with limited spaces or first come first served, but a free invitation made possible only through Jesus. Only through his death in place of sinful man. As a church, as a body of believers, as individuals at school or work or home, will we take that invitation out? Will we take it to the poor, the blind, out to those on the highways, out to those who seem the least likely? You know, those people who you just think, well there's no point. They're not the sort. Well, this passage makes it incredibly clear that the gospel, that the kingdom of heaven, that God does not have a sort of person. God does not have a type. This is a free invitation for all people. And the only qualification is to accept that gracious invitation. And we're to take it out there to people, compel them to come in to this banquet, that they may share in the incredible kingdom of God, that they may be blessed to be part of that, that they may move from darkness to light, from death to life, and all of it only possible through Jesus, who brings us this invitation. And so this invitation we see in this parable, it continues to go out. The gospel invite continues to go to people, a free invitation. The challenge for us is, will we reject it or will we accept it? And if we accept it, will we pass that invite on to others so that they too can share in the great banquet of the kingdom of God? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of the gospel. We thank you that you came to seek and save lost people. We thank you that because of Jesus' work, his death on our behalf, the perfect life he lived that we could never have lived, Lord, now there is this invite for us to join your kingdom. Lord, we pray that you would highlight to us the things of the world which are obscuring our view of what an incredible privilege that is. We pray that you would humble us in the places in our lives in which we think that somehow this is an invitation which we deserve or are worth. And we pray above all we would come to give you glory and praise as we recognize that this is something which we could never have achieved by ourselves, that this invitation is entirely of grace, that this invitation is an incredible display of your mercy. That those people who deserve to be separated from you, those people who deserve to be far from you, are invited in to join you in the eternal banquet and celebration and joy that there is in the kingdom of God. So please be with us this week. Please help us to dwell on and think about how great that privilege is. And as we think about that, Lord, may that move us to share this invitation with those around us. Lord, please forgive us when we make judgments about the kind of people who we think would be interested in the gospel. We pray instead that you would give us your heart for all people, that we would take out this invitation to the poor and the lame, to those who are near and to those who are far, compelling them to come in, convincing them through your power, through your Holy Spirit, of the incredible invitation that you hold out to them. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.